Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. So let's just do a check-in. How are we doing? How are we feeling? Are we anxious? Are we just ready for next week to be over with? I don't know about you, but I think this will go down as one of the wildest election cycles that we have ever seen in our lifetime. And every day I'm bombarded with news reports reminding me that research is showing how anxious everyone is. And I think, thank you very much for telling me that. I knew that just from talking to my neighbors, my friends, the people in the grocery store, my patients, my students, everybody is feeling anxious. But listen, we are going to just all take a collective deep breath together and know that we serve a God who is on his throne, who is in control, who is not pacing the floor of heaven just anxiously, wringing his hands and thinking, oh no, what's going to happen next week? He knows, he sees, he cares. We have to remind ourselves of that every day. Sometimes for me, that's every hour. And sometimes that's every 5 minutes. But if you've been listening to the show since the beginning of January, you know, every week we are talking about a habit that we should be having as families to make our families healthy. No family is perfect. That is absolutely the truth, mine included. My kids would be first to line up, and they would be so glad to tell you all of my mom fails, and there are many. And thankfully, we can laugh about most of those by now. But our relationships are healthy and our family is healthy. So I want to shift our perspective in thinking about that, because I think even if we wouldn't admit it, if someone asked us if we felt the pressure for our family to be perfect, we would say, oh no, that's not me. I don't feel like my family needs to be perfect. I know we're not perfect. But if you really were to do a deep dive, you do feel some of those pressures. A lot of those come from social media and just feeling like, no, but this family doesn't seem to be arguing over politics. This family, the teenagers seem to be talking to the parents and enjoying time spending with them. And this mom always has it together. And this dad is like, you know, how is he finding the time to work out? All of those things really impact the pressure that we put on our families. And we have to think about it, even if you're a generally healthy person, occasionally you get a cold, you might get a stomach virus, you might, you know, have just a minor health issue that needs some tender loving care, needs some time, and will go away. And even those viruses that we get, here's me getting all nursey on you, those viruses can stimulate our immune system and make our immune system stronger. And that's what happens when we have conflict in families. We need to focus on having healthy family relationships where people's feelings still get hurt, where you still have arguments, where you still have struggles that you work through, where you still have trials and tribulations that come your way, where everybody copes in a different way, and maybe that causes some tension. Let me just reassure you, that is perfectly normal, and those things are healthy, but we work through them. So if you look back through the beginning of the year, I want to remind you all, you can go to AFR.net or any podcast platform, and you can listen to the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. Now, these are just 1 minute little encouragements, and I go through each habit, and we are getting close to the end of the year. So let me just do a little check-in here and tell you what those are in case you have missed out, and you can just do a little self-quiz and think, okay, how am I incorporating these things into my family's regular routine? Because when we think about these things, we know that it's the simple things that somehow are not easy to do. But if you're worried about election stress or any other kind of stress, the way to promote and cultivate and nurture resilience in your family is through these simple building blocks that are time-tested, that are God-honoring, that are science-supported, to help your families be healthy. So week one was pray. And this week, more than any week, let me encourage you to pray as much as you're worrying. Every time you feel an anxious thought, turn that care into a prayer. I know it sounds so cliche. My kids are groaning right now, but it is so true. They still will turn their cares into prayers. Are we praying about things as much as we're talking about it and worrying about it? So just turn that into a dialogue. Are you turning to the truth of Scripture? Are you letting God's word encourage you and lift you up? Week three, are you regularly attending church? Are you plugged in somewhere where you're seen and known and loved and cared about? Are you listening to music? This is week four. Are you listening to music that's edifying, that's lifting you up, that's not pulling you down into the doldrums and making you feel anxious or sad? Are you practicing gratitude? Are you being thankful for what you have? Are you listening to the people in your life with your face? Or is your face in your phone just consumed with election news? So are you listening with your face? We have bedtime routines, sleep hygienes, daily devotionals. Listen, I'm just up to week 10, morning routine, playing together. But I encourage you, those are the main important things for you to do. There are a lot of tech habits in there. Go to the Dr. Nurse Mama coaching minutes and use those as a coping tool. Honestly, there are science-supported, evidence-based coping strategies in there to help build healthy relationships in your family. And as we're talking, each week we're thinking about a scripture. So the habit for this week that we're talking about is being kind. We have been focusing on Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. So we've talked about being forgiving. Last week, we talked a lot about being tenderhearted. And this week, week 44 of this year, by the way, Christmas is coming faster than I'm ready for, but I'm always ready for Christmas. This week, we're talking about being kind. Now, if you are listening to any of the election rhetoric, it seems like there is no demographic that is untouched by conversation. Young people are talking about this, older generations. We have all people from all areas of the country, all walks of life, who are talking about the election, and that conversation is not always kind. And even in this generation for kids, we see a lot of kids being bullied. So I just looked at this, or at a report that was issued nationally just this month in October of 2024. And there's a national health interview survey that surveys teenagers from all over the country. And from July 2021 to December of last year, about a third of teenagers report being bullied. Now, they give a definition of bullying, what that is, and that's not just somebody was mean to you once, but that is ongoing. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about choosing to be kind in a world that is not always kind, in a world that doesn't always honor kind speech. We'll talk about the bullying that kids are facing and how we can be countercultural in that. As I shared with you, October is National Bullying Prevention Month, and this is when we have advocates who highlight this continuing epidemic of bullying. So we've got a guest today to do just that. I've got Jay Smith. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Nick V Ministries, and this was founded by Nick Vujicic. And he founded a Christian nonprofit dedicated to spreading the message of hope and faith. And since December of 2023, this ministry has reached over 45 million people with the gospel. That is just absolutely amazing to have that kind of hope. So we're going to talk about that today. Jay, welcome to the program. We're so glad to have you with us.
Dr. Jessica, it's so good to be with you. And even listening to your opening, it is such an important time to be talking about this topic.
It absolutely is. Well, Jay, tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in all of this.
Awesome. Well, I'm formerly a pastor and began to work with Nick about 14 years ago. And one of the first things that drew me to Nick was his ability to connect with young people and with young adults, especially those that were very broken, that had broken homes, broken lives, and just watch the hope through Nick's story, but also the message of the gospel that it brought to them. And so I began to work with Nick in different events, getting into schools. We'll talk more about the school impact probably a little bit later, but just it's been quite a ride for 14 years. And even up until now, even feeling like as a ministry that we have more and more to offer those that feel like they've been bullied or they're broken in some other area of their life. So really excited for today.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about Nick, because Nick is pretty special and he's got a pretty powerful testimony. So can you share with us a little of Nick's story? And I imagine, Jay, as you start to describe this, there are going to be a lot of listeners who say, oh, yeah, I know that guy. I've seen that guy.
Well, that's true. I mean, right now, Nick is one of the most watched people on social media, whether Christian or non-Christian. From TikTok, which we don't recommend, by the way, but we do get on it because we know there's hurting people on it.
It's such a struggle.
Platforms. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Maybe we'll talk about that too. But he is such an inspiration, and hundreds of thousands of comments weekly from people that are being inspired and given hope. But Nick's story, you know, his mom was a nurse, but back then the ultrasounds were not as accurate as they are now. And they saw a heartbeat, but they didn't realize that there was no limbs. And so when he was born, it was quite a shock to his parents. Honestly, they didn't have a lot of resources. They were in Australia. Nick is Serbian by descent. His parents were both raised in Serbia. In fact, both parents were in refugee camps before they came over to Australia. And that was part of his story, is knowing poverty firsthand, knowing struggle firsthand. And so when they realized that he did not have limbs, they begin to look for resources. They begin to pray, God, what could you either do with our son? And the older that Nick got, he would say it this way. When he was young, he didn't feel any different than some of the other kids until they started telling him he was different. And that's really where his bullying journey started as a young man and getting into the middle school years and begin to feel that realization that he couldn't do everything that everyone else did. And it hurt when people that were hurt, because often bullies have hurt themselves. And that is part of Nick's story, is realizing that bullies actually have their own pain, and not to be angry with them, to actually have compassion for them. And Nick, through that whole journey, had many moments where he had to learn to trust God. And part of that journey was at age 10, in a moment of just, I don't think there's anything that God can do with my life, tried to drown himself in his bathtub. And in his own words, he saw an image of his parents at his grave, and he saw his siblings crying. And he realized, you know, maybe there is something that I could stay here for. And I don't want to leave him with that kind of grief. And so by the grace of God, he didn't follow through with that. And it began a journey of learning to trust God despite his disability and trust God despite what the world thought of him.
That is powerful, Jay. That is really powerful. And so in case any listeners missed it, Nick was born without any arms or legs. And that I can't imagine. You know, we all have wounds that we carry around. We all have disabilities. Some of those are visible and some of those aren't visible, but Nick's are so visible in such a way. And I watched him share about being bullied and riding by on his wheelchair, you know, every day, this one bully in particular who was just extremely vicious. And he said, it was interesting to me, Jay, because he didn't say he had the courage to confront the bully. He said he had the humility to confront him, to go and to say, that hurt me when you said that. And then the guy said, oh my goodness, it did. And sometimes that can just change the dynamics so much. And he talked about praying for those who persecute him. Well, there's so much more to talk about. We're going to talk about an event that you just did in Dallas, Texas, and how we can provide hope for kids who are experiencing this. Don't go away. We'll be back more with Jay Smith from Nick V Ministries talking about bullying and giving you some hope. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. What would Jesus do? That is what we're talking about today. It is the end of October, and October is Bullying Awareness Month, where we're talking about the epidemic of bullying that is going on in our country for young people. And pretty much everyone is touched by this in some way, shape, or form, as we have social media that sometimes promotes discourse that is less than kind. And we know that we are instructed to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, full of compassion, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave us. And that is much easier said than done. We're talking to Jay Smith, who is the CEO of Nick V Ministries. And in the first segment, Jay was telling us about Nick's testimony. Now, in case you missed it, Nick was born without any arms or legs. And you can just imagine what kind of hardship that would bring to your life, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And he has shared that he was bullied. But if you have ever heard Nick speak, he overflows with joy. He overflows with hope. And there's something for me about watching him thinking, okay, this guy, he can do it. I can do it too. And Jay was just sharing how Nick's life was spared. He was at the point of despair to where he couldn't imagine even living anymore. But God had a different plan. So Jay, welcome back. We're so glad to have you here talking about Nick V Ministries. And I want to come back to bullying in a minute. But one of the great things about Nick's ministry is that you have a new focus called Champions for the Brokenhearted. It's not just the bullied. You've got the trafficked, the unborn, the disabled, the prisoner, the orphan, the widowed, the abused, the addicted, the suicidal, the bullied, the veteran, which will be next month, of course, in November, and the poor. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's amazing. Nick often says, you don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give your broken pieces a chance. And for him, he had a lot of broken pieces, and he often wondered, Lord, what can you do with my life? And as Nick began to just progress in his life, he realized that actually his brokenness gave him a weapon. It gave him a touch point that allowed people to almost look at him and say, man, I think this guy gets it. I think he gets me. And it's opened up Nick to be able to minister to a wide demographic of people. So Isaiah 61, verse 1, really the mission statement of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. That became a theme for us. And in that theme, we just looked at, okay, what are the groups we're already reaching? as Nick is ministering around the world, who are already reaching and what kind of resources do we need to put together for them? And God led us to 12 different areas that you just mentioned. Those 12 areas, we began to interview experts in the field from around the world in those 12 areas. And over the last 3 years, we now have 3 to 4 interviews per area. And then we begin to put together resources. So, man, if today you find yourself in a place where you're dealing with abuse or addiction, or you feel yourself, maybe you're a former foster kid and you need resources, and or you're working with somebody that's broken, these resources were created for that purpose. And so this month is Hope for the Bullied. And we just released in our Jesus Cares series a beautiful message on Jesus Cares for the Bully. It already has 110,000 views on YouTube. You can go to YouTube to our channel to watch that. It comes along with it an ebook. That ebook is filled with scriptures and encouragement to somebody that's been bullied, or somebody that you know somebody that's been bullied, and you can get this to them. Beautiful resource for them.
I love that verse that you shared in Isaiah, and it reminds me of the scripture from Psalm 34, 18 and 19. Yeah. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And, you know, Jay, I see so many kids who are crushed in spirit by so many things, just exactly what you're talking about. Maybe they have, maybe they're trafficked. Maybe they're in the foster care system. Maybe they don't have any issues except for just a really big bully in their life. And I see kids who are looking for hope, and it's hard to find. It's just really hard to find. So I think these kinds of resources are really good, and we need to normalize kids ministering to other kids, you know, reaching out and saying, hey, I see that you're being bullied, standing up for one thing and saying that is not okay, and using your social capital. Because one of the things I've learned, Jay, is that, you know, bullies in the past, they had to have some physical capital to be a bully. Like they had to be bigger, stronger, faster.
Right.
It's not like that now. You have to have social capital to be a bully. You have to have tech savviness. You have to have a social following. You have to be popular. And you can use words like a weapon no one has ever seen. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this epidemic of bullying, because kids also don't have an escape, even if they're not online. Right. The world is online 24/7. They can be bullied without even having a social media account. What are you seeing now that we're even approaching the end of this month? Jay, what have you learned in ministering to kids who are being bullied? What are you seeing on the ground and those people reaching out for help?
Yeah, to mention as well, and you can find this on our website, Nick does have a book just about bullying. And one of the things we're finding, as you just said, social media is a landmine for young people. Snapchat and other things have come out that are just really destructive to relationships and to people's self-worth, to their identity. And so one of the things that's really easy that your listeners could do is, our content is not talking about our ministry. Our content is completely focused on bringing encouragement to people going through brokenness or bullying. And, you know, if you've got a young person or someone that's just online too much, well, share some of Nick's content and it could break through. We get, like I was saying earlier, thousands and thousands of comments about people stumbling upon Nick's message of hope and realizing there's hope for them, or realizing they don't have to listen to the words that are coming at them. But one of the things that we're finding is that, you know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he raises up a standard against him. And so, you know, this message of hope isn't owned by Nick. It's owned by Jesus. It's owned by his church. It's owned by believers. And really, we need to have more people that are counteracting the voice of the enemy in the minds and the ears of young people. And you may not have the following of Nick with millions of followings. You may just have a few, but you can post things that encourage others. And rather being the object of bullying, you could become the perpetrator of truth and of hope and of faith and of love and of peace. And often when you give the very thing that you need, you get what you need.
That's absolutely true. And one of the quotes that I heard from Nick, he said, I realized that maybe bullied people bully others. Hurting people hurt others. We know that. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of thing that people do for self-preservation and as a coping mechanism. And I started seeing my bully as a guy who was just never loved. I started imagining him being verbally abused at home or witnessing his father verbally abusing his mom. And with that picture in mind, I actually felt compassion for my enemy. And this is just, I think, an important thing for us as a society and especially as kids, Jay, to humanize each other. Yeah. Because when we are just have all of these digital interactions, it dehumanizes people. And I think about when I was serving in a really prominent national organization, I got some not so kind email correspondence, I will just say.
Yeah.
But you know what? I found that when I picked up the phone and I would just call that person and just say, hey, I got your email and I really want to hear what's on your heart. I can tell there's pain, there's disappointment, whatever emotion I could see in that. And almost every time, Jay, there was this, first of all, shock, like, wait, this is who? Wait, what? You're calling? No, it's fine. And, you know, because you forget about that human element. And so as much as we can do that, I think that is really important. And you just recently took an event like this to Dallas to equip kids to do that, to be kind to each other, how to respond to bullying, how to cope with it if you're being bullied. Can you tell us about that event?
Yeah, so we've had two events, and the one I probably want to talk about the most is so unique. The mayor of Mesquite, Mayor Alleman, gathered 20 different football teams, this is public schools, into an auditorium with their coaches and some of their parents. There was 800 people in attendance. And gathered around tables, they fed them good food. But then they had Nick come and just give a message of hope. And, you know, these are big football players. Some of them are probably the bullies. And as Nick was addressing these areas, two-thirds of those boys got up out of their chairs and came forward to give their life to Jesus. And some of these boys didn't know what to do. Two were kneeling right in front of me, and they're weeping. And what you just said, Jessica, about many of these bullies, they've actually been mistreated, unloved, maybe a product of a single mom, and they need hope themselves. And to watch these big, strong boys just turn to Jesus, which we know that ultimately is what heals both the bully and the bullied, is a relationship with Jesus and that hope that we find in him. And as the boys are getting back up and they're heading back to their seats, this one guy turned to his friend and said, hey, dude, we just gave our life to Jesus. And this look on his face of surprise that I can't believe I just did that today. But then hope that, you know, I finally did something that could potentially change my life. And we find that everywhere we go, even internationally. There's times where we get to speak to hundreds of thousands of youth at one time, where there's kids in a stadium, but we're live streaming into many schools. And as that message of hope and the message of Jesus is going out, it really is the only thing that changes lives and gives hope. Because think of this, and Nick talks about this. Jesus was bullied. Jesus had bullies that were so detrimental to his health that they nailed him to a cross. And in the middle of being bullied, in the middle of being crucified, Jesus looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so when you're able to forgive someone that's bullied you and you're able to love them despite what they're doing, it takes the power from them. It takes that weapon from them. And in the grace of Jesus Christ, not all bullies are going to respond to God, but we can see some of them actually find their own hurt healed and their own lives restored.
Well, you know, I think about all of the kids who face so much hurt today, Jay, and I am definitely immersed in that, both personally as a mom of young kids, four young kids, and who are starting to become young adults and navigate the world as a clinician, as a professor who's teaching students to take care of the next generation, and I see so much hurt, and some of it is self-induced. Some of it is within the control of a family, and some of it is not. And we just see so much trauma and tragedy that kids are facing in the context, in the social context of great division. I think a lot about past generations where, you know, you had people know where they were on V-Day or D-Day, right, in Europe. People know where they were when JFK was shot, when the Challenger exploded, when 9/11 happened. But this generation, they know where they were when COVID started, when quarantine started. Yep. And unlike those past events that created, for the most part, a sense of unity, COVID has torn the world apart. And we're seeing this polarization as partially a coping mechanism of people wanting control, because that control was taken from everyone. The world was flipped upside down. And we see that happening. And we see parents who are anxious, who are afraid, who have economic stressors. And you mentioned single moms. And so just a shout out to all the single moms, man, they are doing such incredible, incredible work. And I hope that wherever you are in your community, you are just looking out for them and encouraging them where you can, because their job is so hard. And we know, we've talked a lot to a lot of other guests who talk about the fatherless wound that is in our country. Yeah. And those moms can do everything that they can, but it's still there, that feeling of hurt. But you know what I think about, Jay? I think about that's something they can't control. And I think about Nick. He could not control that he was born without arms or legs. And I'm sure, you know, looking back, if he at first he might think, oh, I would choose to do that. But God has used his story in such a way. I just wonder, Jay, if he didn't have that striking physical appearance where you look at him and you think, okay, he doesn't look like me. I wonder if his message would have had such resonance. So for him to sit there and say that, let me read a quote from him. He says, I'm here to tell you today that you are special, you are loved, and that God does have an amazing plan for your life. He will never leave or forsake you. And if God can use me, a man without arms and legs, to be his hands and feet, that gives me goosebumps, by the way, then he will certainly use any willing heart. If we give our lives to him, he promises to give us a hope and a future. And Jay, that's what I see, is kids who want a hope and a future, plans to prosper them and not to harm them. They are looking for good news in a broken world. And when we come back, we're going to give you more of that, more good news for a broken world. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
In a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may he give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Welcome back, friends. That is Speak to the Mountains by Chris McClarney. Man, we need to turn the volume up on that one. I just love that song. Those are the kinds of messages that we need to be flooding over our souls and putting on repeat. In a world where the doom scroll dominates, we need to have a hope scroll. And that can happen through the people that you're talking to, the music that you're playing, the things that you're reading, the ways that you are choosing to spend your time. And today, we're talking about spreading kindness. Start your own kindness campaign. Be countercultural. Even if someone else is not kind to you, we are commanded to love and pray for our enemies. And that can seem like you all got some political enemies right now, right? Where we seem like we feel like we're in a world that divides us, but we can be a light by being kind. We're talking to Jay Smith, the CEO of Nick V Ministries. Now, if you haven't been listening in, Nick was born without any arms or legs, without any limbs, and God has used his life in a mighty way. And I wanted you to hear just a couple of minutes from Nick. And so, Richard on my team here, I'm going to call for that clip and let you hear straight from Nick.
But often the answer to our own issues is to give the love, acceptance, and positive encouragement to others that we ourselves need. What am I saying? That when you don't get a miracle, don't focus on what's going on. Focus on how you can be a miracle for someone else. What if I can actually be bullied, forgive that bully, but then love someone else who's also being bullied? That's what God does. He takes your broken pieces and does something beautiful. He causes everything, all things to come together for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes, according to Romans 8:28. Yes, it seems difficult, but Philippians 4:13 says you can endure all things through Christ who strengthens you. I want you to know it transformed my mental health when I took my focus off what's going on here, asked God for guidance, sought counsel from other people, went up to the bully, asked him to stop, got a witness to back me up, and if they didn't stop, man, did I just feel more sorry for them. Did it happen overnight? No, but I wanted it bad to happen. That I could finally see my bully as not my bully, but someone who themselves are bleeding on the inside somehow, who needs Jesus Christ. And how beautiful it is that I was able to show them the love of Jesus Christ, to actually go up to that person and say, I forgive you. And after that hug, that person never teased me again. Did I have bullies for the rest of my life? Yep. Do you know what the biggest bully is that I've come across? The lies in my head. You're not good enough. You're ugly. You'll never get through this. You're not smart enough. You'll never be loved. You'll never find a job. You'll never make your parents proud. You'll just be like your dad. You'll just be like your mom. You'll just... Stop it. Capture those thoughts, as Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, and replace them with truth. What you feed your mind is what your mind will be. Get off technology and start reading your Bible. Stop worrying about what the world says about you. Get a second opinion. Go to the Word of God.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better myself. That is Nick. Yep. And I hope that everyone will go to the website. You can see that's just a very small clip of a message that he has about bullying. Our listeners can go to nickvministries.org and you can see this video that he has. I've watched the whole thing actually twice. I will admit to you, Jay, I watched it twice today because wow, it was such a powerful message. And there are resources. Yeah. I'm looking at it on my computer right now in real time. There is a Hope for the Bullied resource here. And as I open it up, I mean, just amazing to be able to give this to someone you know is being bullied. And so this is what I would encourage my listeners. A lot of times kids will say something about being bullied. And sometimes as adults, we're like, oh, I'm really sorry that's happening. Are you okay? You know, and you kind of have this peripheral conversation. this would be a great follow-up and say, hey, I know, I heard you say that you were worried about being bullied. I want to make sure you're talking to your parents about that, connecting them to someone who may need to intervene and do something, but being able to give this resource, it's free, doesn't cost a thing. You can go and listen to the message for free. You can download this resource for free. And, you know, and Jay, tell us a little bit more about these because they're available in multiple languages.
Yeah, so all the videos are being translated into many languages. Spanish is the one that we have most of the resources, even in print also. But as far as the videos go, there are many, many languages. But they're available in those 12 categories we talked about earlier, from the trafficked to the poor to the veteran. And they're very unique. They're not like each other. Each of these resources is very custom-made for these issues. And so, it's interesting. Some of the things I was going to say that Nick just said it on that clip you played, and he does say it better than you or I could say it. And, now you see why I am so excited to work with him and to come alongside and just see God bring hope everywhere we go. And so, yeah,
well, and, that's that. And you've also got training that you can provide for people. Yeah. So tell us more about how our listeners can get involved if they want to volunteer.
Yeah. So championcaregiver.org is a separate website, and it's training for everyday believers to work with the very broken. Initially, we actually were approached by a counseling ministry, a national counseling ministry, saying, man, Nick, your messages are touching all these people. What do you have to give them? And we didn't have a lot. And so we began to partner with them and some of our other partners. And then down the road, they're like, hey, let's create a training where an everyday believer could, let's just pick the thing of foster kids. They can actually take a custom training from licensed counselors and PhD psychiatrists to learn the basics of caregiving and counseling. And then from a biblical perspective, custom apply that to a foster child or maybe an unwed mother or one of these 12 different categories. And it's done. And it's actually, the Spanish version is about to be released by January 1st. All videos, all manuals will be in Spanish. And it's very comprehensive, but it's also very accessible. We made it for the everyday believer. This is not created to take the place of a counselor or a psychiatrist. There's specialties that we need to still go to. But this is to kind of grow the army. One of our counseling partners is a PhD. And he's written a book on lay caregiving. And in the book, he says that, this is Dr. Eric Scalise, he says that a trained everyday believer can do about 80% of what a licensed counselor can do when they're using biblical training. Because a lot of the issues that people are facing, the Bible has an answer for. Jesus has an answer for. And so we're wanting that army to increase so that, as you mentioned, during COVID, mental health issues went up. Well, come on, church. Let's let the help, the hands and feet of Jesus go up as well.
I agree with that.
Caregiver.org.
Okay, right there. And you can click on Get Involved with Pray, Give, and Serve with Us, because so many kids that are feeling anxiety or depression, it doesn't rise to the level of a diagnosable disorder. It's early. And then they're thinking, oh, if I feel any little, you know, emotional uncomfortableness, you know, they don't know what to do with it. And then parents are afraid. So just to have another wraparound resource, most kids, they need someone, whether they're in counseling or not, they need someone who's listening to them, who's developing that healthy relationship, who's invested in them. And, you know, Nick's story is so inspiring, Jay, but I'm sure that you see a lot of stories that are inspiring and people who are finding hope in the middle of really hard circumstances. Can you share with us a story of how your ministry has impacted someone's life?
Yeah, I'd love to. Even this last Sunday, we had an outreach in Mesquite, Texas, and it's in a neighborhood that is seeing a lot of pain and a lot of brokenness. And one of the things we wanted to do as a ministry, because we're an evangelism ministry that's really preaching the gospel, so we didn't want to just say, hey, you received Jesus, you're saved, goodbye. We wanted to provide help, hope, and healing for them. and not just read your Bible and pray, but if they have an issue such as addiction or abuse that's been longstanding and they need hope, what can we provide for a new believer? And so as we created Champions for the Brokenhearted, we turned that into a live resource in that we bring people from the community that we're preaching in that are experts in those 12 areas to man a booth where people can come get prayer, they can come get resources, and they can get connected in their own local community to something that they need. So this last Sunday, one of many stories, this lady was in our deaf section. We had a signer, and she was hearing Nick through the signing. And the day before, her husband had been sentenced to 7 years in prison. And she had needs. She had hurts. She had questions. And so through a signer, one of our volunteers was talking to her. And they were able to take her directly over to the Champions for the Prisoner booth and connect her with somebody that's connected to prison ministries in that area, and immediately get her the resources she needed, get her the prayer that she needed, connect her to a small group for people like her that have somebody, a loved one that's incarcerated, and to bring specific healing. And I got to go over and meet this lady after what I just described, and to see the joy in her eyes despite her pain, because the church, the hands and feet of Jesus, had reached out to her. Go back to the Champion Caregiver Training. One of the reasons we created it, we know many people, they might work in a crisis pregnancy center, but they've never been trained in how to love somebody or listen or talk or use scripture to heal. They just a willing heart. And so we want to almost bridge this gap of people that have this heart to serve. They don't have the time to go off and get a degree, but they want to learn the basics. And that's the reason that we created that program, Champion Caregiver Training. And the reason we have these resources for people like this lady who came and just needed somebody to stand next to her in her moment of crisis.
That's absolutely amazing. I love hearing that, Jay, because there is an epidemic of loneliness, people just feeling, you know, so isolated and so disconnected. And does anyone see me? Does anyone hear me? Does anyone know me or love me? And being able to walk alongside them and meet them at their point of need, having some of the training that you're talking about is really important, because we're all having conversations when people share with us their problems. And sometimes what I see, Jay, is that when someone shares a problem, if we're Christians, we feel like, oh, this is a pop quiz. We better make sure that we say something super spiritual. And then all of a sudden, right, we have this very selfish perspective where we're thinking about our performance as in, and when we're well-intentioned, you know, we want to help the person, but we don't think about it from their perspective. And so having some skills to do that, I'm just going to encourage you. I know there's somebody out there listening who feels that tug on their heart, who feels convicted. Like, I've been talking about that. Let me read through these again, the trainings that you have: the trafficked, the unborn, the disabled, the prisoner, the orphan, the widowed, the abused, the addicted, the suicidal, the bullied, the veteran, the poor. If that is you and you are feeling convicted, I encourage you to go and check out the resources that are there. Well, tell us, Jay, one more time how we can connect, how we can find you, and what last message you would like to give to our listeners.
Well, if you want a dose of hope every day, follow us somewhere on social media, if you're on Facebook or Instagram or somewhere else. Two or three times a day, a little message from Nick goes out. It's bringing hope to the world, and you can get on that as well. As you mentioned on our website, there's a lot of resources, and there's a lot of ways that if you want to be part of our prayer army, you can get involved that way. We have over 500 in our prayer army from 35 countries, and they're a necessary part of what we do. And so there on the website, you'll find a lot of other resources. And then on YouTube, that's where our long-form content is, both on the website and on YouTube. And there are so many encouraging messages there in those 12 categories and others. We actually have two bonus categories. One is Native American, and one is the persecuted Christian. And there are interviews and messages from Nick there on those as well. Just a lot. And not just for you, but for you to share with somebody that's hurting, for you to share with somebody that needs some hope in their life through this beautiful man without arms and legs, Nick Boyachich.
Amen, Jay. I love it. He's been talking for 19 years. More than 900 million people have heard Nick speak, and you're in 60 countries, and you've met with 24 governments. That's pretty amazing. 733 million people hearing the gospel. That's nickvministries.org. And listen, my friend, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in the middle of this craziness. Listen, tomorrow you'll hear a special message from American Family Association. I'll be back here on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.